Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, we have a great treat this morning. You don't have to listen to me. How many know Sue? Sue, raise your hand. Sue is going to bring the message this morning, and she's got something from the Spirit of God. I know you're going to get something out of it. So as we welcome her, let everybody stand and give her a hand and encourage her.
Well, thank you. I want to thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate the support. I want to thank Pastor Dan and Shelby for allowing me to do this. I just love to talk about the Word of God, as many of you that go to school with me know. And I'm going to talk about forgiveness today. And is this too loud? I entitled the message, Forgive and Be Blessed. And the Lord, when the Lord... I'd ask, what should I talk on today? And, you know, I like to talk about faith and I like to talk about, you know, our blessings and everything. But he said, no, I want you to talk about forgiveness. So, and the reason he wanted me to do that is because as we come upon the holiday season, you know, we've just had Thanksgiving, we come upon Christmas. A lot of times this is the time of year when people really realize how lonely they are. And a lot of times people will... you know, sometimes commit suicide during this time because it's a time when they realize, you know, maybe they're in strife with somebody, co-worker, family member, maybe they've lost someone through death, whatever the case may be. So they really kind of come to themselves and they go, oh my gosh, you know, I'm still mad at my sister, you know, over 25 years or whatever the case may be. So this is why he wanted me to talk about this. Now, maybe some of you have, you know, some feeling of unforgiveness, but, you know, it can be hidden too. And it can be a hidden thing to where, you just don't really even notice it. So I'm hoping this message will really kind of open our eyes. So I'm just going to open with a word of prayer. So Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you that your Spirit lives in us, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and that when we forgive people as you have forgiven us, that we can live this abundant life and that people can see Christ in us. So help us to open our eyes to see what we need to see and receive the words that you want us to hear so that we can be Christ in this world. Amen. Thank you. So I want to give you a little bit of, I'm not used to really walking around, but, so I'll do whatever. But, you know, I want to give you my background. I grew up in North Dakota, and I grew up on a farm, and I grew up about 9 miles from town, and I had to ride a school bus. And, you know, my parents were good people, and they had this mentality, though, of if you scratch my back, I'll scratch your type of thing. So if someone did something for you, they were farmers, and if someone did something, or maybe they did something for someone, and then maybe they didn't really appreciate it, or they didn't say anything, they really wouldn't go out of their way to help them again. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, it was just kind of like, well, we're not going to help them again. And you know, they were good people. But the bottom line is I grew up with that mentality. And I grew up with that, you know, well, if somebody doesn't, you know, if I do something and they don't do it back, I'm not going to really go out of my way to do something. And, you know, we went to church every now and then, but, you know, as farmers, they just didn't go. So I just, the bottom line when it comes down to it, and if we can really get, I could probably stop with this right here. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if people are treating us bad, if we're treating people bad, we just don't know any better. And so, you know, we really have to learn how to forgive. And, I mean, if God has forgiven us, my gosh, we should be able to forgive people. Because how are people going to see Christ in us if we don't forgive? So that's the bottom line. Back to the living on the farm, I grew up on the farm, and I had to ride the school bus. And there were these girls that would pick on me on the school bus. And I was probably in the fourth or fifth, sixth grade. And they would tease me. They would throw things at me. And they were probably 4, 5, 6 years older than me. And I just used to just, I would go to my mother and I say, can you talk to them? Can you do something so that they don't pick on me anymore? And no, she wasn't, you know, it was kind of like you fight your own battles, you know, and then it was also, well, I would lay in bed at night and I think, oh, if I only had enough money, if I could pay him off to leave me alone. You know, I mean, it was just silly stuff. Or if I was, you know, I remember telling Tennis, if I could have just learned karate or something and beat him up, you know. I mean, it was just, you know, silliness. But as a child, you know, you're just hurt by that. But then again, I go back. How many know people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? They just don't know any better. So why is it important to forgive? And I put this on the handout because Jesus said to. You know, that's number one. We're going to look at a scripture in Matthew where he really points it out pretty plainly. And the second thing, if God forgives us, how can we not forgive other people? Because God doesn't ask us to do something that wouldn't be good for us. And like I said before, if we want people to see Christ in us, how in the world are they going to see it if we act no different than the people in the world? You know. So what does it mean to forgive? The word forgive is to cease to feel resentment against an offender, to pardon. So when I was it was probably a couple of years ago, I had run across one of these girls that had hurt me. And, you know, I didn't see him a lot. I mean, I went back from my high school reunion and, you know, I probably hear their name and you know, these feelings of, oh, I can't stand that person. You know, it would be rearing its ugly head. And then, every time I saw a school bus, if I saw a school bus, even into my early 40s, I would just cringe. I'm like, oh, I hated that bus. You know, it was just a strange remembrance. But 2 years ago, maybe, and I ran across one of these girls when I was back in North Dakota, and I was standing right beside her because God had gotten a hold of me a few years prior, and he said, you know, you got to lay this down. You know, I mean, there's worse things that have happened to me and I'm sure to you, but this is just an example of how I carried something so silly for such a long time. So when I saw this person and she was right beside me and I had learned about the love of God and about forgiveness, I cannot explain the feeling of how it just felt this overwhelming love for this person. And it was the greatest thing, but it was really that I had this pity for her because she didn't know any better. She didn't know what she had done to me, you know, how much it had hurt me. Especially as a child, you tend to remember those things. So it was just the most beautiful thing. And there, you know, from that point on, I just really learned to look at people and realize that they just don't know any better. And if we can get that, if we can get that point, oh my gosh. I mean, anybody that does anything to you, you have to stop and think, where did they come from? Maybe as an abusive parent or alcoholic parent or whatever, well, that goes back into time. I mean, their parents treated them like that, and it just goes back, and we have to draw the line in the sand and just say, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore because it hurts your physical body. I'm going to show you a scripture about that. It affects our prayer life, and it affects the power of God on our life. So, but why do we think people have to pay? I think it comes down to where we think that, you know, we have the judicial system and, you know, we punish people when they do something bad to us. And we have, you know, we punish our kids. And I think that's where it comes from. We just think, well, I'm not going to let that person get away with what they did to me. You know, we want them to pay. But you know who's paying is us. And we suffer for it. And it is, when you really look at it, and it's silly. It's stupid. You know? So we have to stop and think about their past. We have to stop and think what it's doing to us. You know? So, but the word love, I like to look up definitions. This Andrew Womack had said this once. The word love, he used this definition, and it says, a tolerance for people beyond the average standard. Tolerance for people beyond the average standard. So that's a good definition. Because as you go back to the word forgiveness, to cease to feel resentment against an offender, when you know that that has completely been gone, just like when I stood beside that girl, I'll tell you what, it was a good feeling. It was a good feeling that I could feel that. And I had that love, that tolerance for someone that did something to me. And I went above and beyond, you know, what we need to do. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be like everybody in the world. So 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love takes no account of the evil done to it. You know, if somebody does something to us, it's just, you know, we can think about it, we can talk about it, we can rehearse it over in our mind over and over again. And it's just, why? You know, why are we wasting time when we could be thinking something good? You know, I'm going to go ahead. Well, number three, how do you forgive? You have to do it on purpose. And I'm going to read a scripture from John 13. And this is from, now I see why you wanted me to use the, so bear with me. So I hardly ever use the Message translation, and this is going to be John 13:34-35. But I really liked how he put this, and I'm going to read in Matthew as well. But John 13:34, he says, let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I loved you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. I mean, you can't get any plainer than that. I mean, this is how everyone will recognize you. Because they can't recognize us when we're talking about them and we're mad at them. We're no different. And we have to stand out. We have to stand out. Matthew 5, let me read. This is a good one. This one, I had never read it before, but this is Matthew 5, and it's verse 38 through 48. This is in the Message translation. So starting with verse 38, it says, here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Is that going to get you anywhere? Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I like that word because I like to take a challenge. I like to, you know, if somebody says you can't do that, don't you just want to do that? So it's like, I like a challenge. So I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. Isn't that great? Because it is a challenge, like, ooh, can I love that person and just really walk in love and not let it bother me? I think I love a challenge. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless the good and bad, the nice and nasty. And this is so good. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. You know, even the world does that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Love that. Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. And as Andrew Womack says, pull your thumb out of your mouth and grow up. Remember that? Your kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives towards you. Isn't that great? I just love that. I never hardly use that, but it was just perfect. So, but you know what? Love is not, it's not an emotion. It's not the Hollywood type of thing like ooey gooey, you know. It's an action. Love is an action. Jesus did not feel like going to the cross. He did it as an act of love for us. You know, we have to stop and think. And if you really did meditate, I would challenge you, if you meditated a day on some of the things, I know I could meditate a day on some of the things that I have done, I could meditate longer than that. And look at all the things I've done in the past and think about how God has forgiven me. If you can just sit and do that and think, oh my gosh, He has forgiven me. How can I not forgive other people? It just boils down to that. So, and you can only do this in the Spirit. This is something, you know, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're walking in love, you're renewing your mind to the Word of God. This is the only way you can do it. You know, we can't do it. That's why He's talking about the unbelievers. I mean, even the unbelievers, you know, say help, you know, can do good things too. But He's talking about when we live that Spirit-led life, we live that over and above life, and we have to let people see our light, you know. And you know what? You're doing yourself a big favor. That's probably one of the biggest things, because so many people. I have a cousin that over 25 years she's been in strife with her sister, and it was the only two people in her family, you know, her mother, father, and then the two sisters. And she had so much strife with the sister because of some inheritance type of thing. And she's sickly. She's always sickly, you know. She doesn't know any better. She doesn't know any better. But I'm telling you, it's going to affect your body. But it's a sad thing, and you see this a lot. You see this a lot. I'm going to go ahead and read a story. How many of you remember back, this was not in 2006, this was a gunman had entered an Amish school. You remember that? Yeah. And this is just amazing how these people forgave. It says, on Monday morning, October 2nd, 2006, a gunman entered a one-room Amish school in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. In front of 25 horrified pupils, 32-year-old Charles Roberts ordered the boys and the teacher to leave. After tying the legs of the 10 remaining girls, Roberts prepared to shoot them with an automatic rifle and 400 rounds of ammunition that he brought to the task. The oldest hostage, a 13-year-old girl, begged Roberts to shoot me first and let the other ones go. Refusing her offer, he opened fire on all of them, killing five and leaving the others critically wounded. He then shot himself as police stormed the building. His motivation? I'm angry at God for taking my little daughter, he told the children before the massacre. The story captured the attention of broadcast and print media in the United States and around the world. By Tuesday morning, some 50 television crews had clogged the small village of Nickel Mines, staying for 5 days until the killer and the killed were buried. The blood was barely dry on the schoolhouse floor when Amish parents brought words of forgiveness to the family of the one who had slain their children. The outside world was incredulous that such forgiveness could be offered so quickly for such a heinous crime. Of the hundreds of media queries that the authors received about the shooting, questions about forgiveness rose to the top. Forgiveness, in fact, eclipsed the tragic story, trumping the violence and arresting the world's attention. Within a week of the murders, Amish forgiveness was a central theme in more than 2,400 news stories around the world. Fresh from the funerals where they had buried their own children, grieving Amish families accounted for half of the 75 people who attended the killer's burial. Robert's widow was deeply moved by their presence as Amish families greeted her and her three children. The forgiveness went beyond talk and graveside presence. The Amish also supported a fund for the shooter's family. That's forgiveness. We don't see that a lot. I mean, we don't see. And then just how the news had just thought, you know, that was just, because that's not normal. You know, people just don't see it. And I like that they showed that, you know, that the media typically will always focus on the negative, but at least they could have, you know, they turned it into a positive. So, but when you think about, you know, Jesus, we're going to look at a clip later. You think about the, you know, the movie, The Passion of Christ, you think about Jesus on the cross, when he had all the verbal abuse and the physical abuse, and it was just, you know, over above what we can even you know, it doesn't even give it a good description and a good picture of it. But when he was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, my gosh, if we can just hold that. If we can just hold that, and when someone does something to, you know, someone does something to us that hurts us, if we can just, you know, think about that and say, oh my gosh, they just don't know any better. They just don't know any better. So who do you forgive? Everyone. We gotta do it to everyone. Well, I don't know, that sister of mine, you know, she just, you know, that's the unpardonable sin, you know, what she did, you know. Well, it's, we have to, you know, we have to. And the longer that you hold on to it, the longer it's going to hurt you, you know. And a lot of times some of these people, they don't even, they're not losing any sleep over it. You know, we're the ones that are stewing in the whole mess, you know. So let me tell you about this was something that happened to Tennis and I. We it was probably in May. We were going to purchase a vehicle, and it was through Craigslist. Make a long story short, looks like a great deal. Oh my gosh, God's blessing us. Oh my gosh, you know, this is so exciting. And anyway, but then it turned out, so he comes in, this was the day of graduation, I think, in May. And he comes in and he goes, that was a scam. And I was like, what? I couldn't believe it, you know, but you know what? I know this principle. I know what God has taught me. And immediately I says, okay. We're going to trust God. We're not going to let this bother us. We're just going to, you know, we're going to believe God. Because how many know that when people steal from God's kids, Daddy's going to take care of it. So we knew that. And then the only way we could at that point reach this person was through email. And then I sent an email and I said, we forgive you. God loves you. We pray that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just left it, and we don't talk about it. And you know what? That was the greatest thing that we could have done, because by us praying that, see, now they're connected to God. Otherwise, if we would have been mad and told everybody, you know, about it, they wouldn't be connected. And God's been probably trying to reach that person. So when you can do it like that, isn't that awesome? It's just an awesome way to live. So it's just something that has to be practiced. You know, we just didn't wake up one day and arrive at. I had to, you know, we had to renew our mind to that way of doing things. Okay? Let's go to, now this is going to be in the Amplified version that I'm going to use. Let's go to Mark 11. This is one of my, this scripture changed my life. But you know what? Another thing too is Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. You know, when somebody does something to you, you know what? Just trust in the Lord and do good. Simple, real simple stuff. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Trust in the Lord and do good. I think if we had those two scriptures, we'd probably be fine. That's all we need. So, but let me start with, this is Mark 11, 22. I'm going to read 22 through 25. So starting with verse 22, and Jesus replying said to them, he's talking to the disciples, have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop, leave it, let it go. I'm going to stop right there. So, I mean, this is the famous scripture, you know, Mark 11, believe you receive when you pray, you have it, you take it. But in verse 25, I love how he says, if you stand praying and if you have anything against anyone, you got to drop it, leave it, let it go. Isn't it interesting how he's saying that right after, this is the way you pray, and then after that, he says, if you have anything against anyone, drop it, leave it, let it go. Looks like that's going to affect our prayer life. God still loves us, but you know, it's going to hinder your prayer life if you hold on to that unforgiveness. I just want to point out, because a lot of people get this mixed up, he says after this, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. Verse 26, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. That, a lot of people get that mixed up and say, well, you know, if I don't forgive, God's not going to forgive me. He's already done it. Ephesians 4:32, he's already done it. So here you have to take the word and rightly divide the word of truth. You have to know he's talking to the Jews, yet, that's a whole nother sermon. Dan can teach on that one. So, but, it's people get that, if you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. No, he's forgiven us. Jesus can't go ahead and die on the cross another time. So, but it's going to hinder our prayer life. Okay? Another thing I want to show you, let's go to Proverbs 14:30. So it's going to hinder our prayer life. And there's a lot of good scriptures in Proverbs about how, certain things will affect our body. So again, I'm reading this out of the Amplified. Proverbs 14:30. It says, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart. Do they have it? Okay. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. But envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness of the bones. Okay? We can add any kind of emotion in there. Any negative emotion, anger, hatred, bitterness, whatever, resentment, anything. Any negative emotion is just, that's not from God. We can get that. I mean, that'll just take care of that right there. So, but you could add hatred and all that to that. So it's going to affect your physical body, okay? It's going to affect the power of God on your life. So if things aren't working, take a survey of, hey, do I still have that unforgiveness toward that classmate or co-worker or whatever? So we have to search our heart because it can. It's like a bitter root. It can lie dormant. I had that happen to me where, I had some feeling bad for my past, and it was just like when you have a that thing in your sink that's got, where you drain your water for your dishes and there's food in there, It's kind of like that. It's like, it's not going to work. It's not going to flow. And it's the same way with this. If we hold on to that unforgiveness, it's like a bitter root. It's just, that spirit. I mean, it's like our spirit's like, living water. But otherwise, if you've got that unforgiveness, it's kind of like a stopped up drain, but the Apostle Paul says, you don't need to turn there, but in Philippians 3:13-14, he says, this one thing I do. One thing. He doesn't say, you need to do something. He says, this one thing I do. Forget what lies behind and press on to what's ahead. Forget about it. Who cares? You know what? I think being right is overrated because, sometimes people will argue back and forth about, well, no, you did this and this and that. Who cares? Who cares? If you really can reach that point to where you don't need to be right, let that other person be right. And then you know what? Later on you might find out you were right. And they might find that out too. Who cares? Especially in a spouse, sometimes it's like, let your spouse be right and then, ladies, we'll know it's like, I'm right. And then they come later, and they'll go, yeah, you're right. I knew it. You know how that goes, but just let it go. It'll prevent an argument or divorce or whatever. So that's what I say. When do I forgive? Now. Don't wait any longer. Get it done with. Because when we forgive, we put ourselves in a position to reap incredible blessings. Peter said to Jesus, he said, Lord, how many times do I forgive my brother? Seven? And he's like, no, you're going to have to kick it up a notch. 70 times seven. So does that mean just 490 times? No, it means as many as you have to. So, but you're going to reap the blessings when you do that. Plus it doesn't put a toll on your body. you can just, your mind can be free to live that life that God wants us to live. And people will see that in us. That didn't bother you when they did that? No, no. I love them. Just cast my care on the Lord. So, but that is the, when we walk in love, that's the highest form of spiritual warfare. I mean, there's no better. The devil gets a black eye every time. So that, I like that part too. We got to swallow our pride and forgive. You know, sometimes it's just, it is that pride. It's like, well, I know I'm right. I'm not going to bow down. Who cares? Who cares? You know, pride comes before destruction. It's like, you know what? Just get over it. Get over being right. Get over yourself and just love people. It's so much easier. This was, I've got it on your handout there. These are two profound things that I have learned over the years, and I really live my life by this. And this first one, it says, it doesn't matter how someone is treating me, how am I treating them? And I had said that once in a Bible study, and I remember this one girl, well, I can't, that's not right. That's, you know, she didn't believe it. But it's true. It's like, if we're going to be Christ, you know, if we're going to show the love of God to people, it doesn't matter how somebody's treating me. I mean, there's a point when, you know, we have to use some discernment. If somebody's taking advantage of us, you know, we may need to separate ourselves. But, hey, you know what? Just do the right thing and love them, because they probably don't know any better. The second one, appreciate everything. Expect nothing from people. Because I think what we do, I know I do, I can put a high, you know, we look at people and we expect them to be like us. You know, we have high expectations on people. And I think if you don't, you know, if you just kind of don't have those high expectations for people, they can't disappoint you. You know, and it always goes back to, they just don't know any better. I can't repeat that enough, because if you get that in your head, and you may think they should know better, and maybe they should, but we have to be the bigger one and just lay it down. So I want, if we could play that video, and then I'm going to say a prayer after this. But this is a video, just a 3-minute clip. There's music with it, but it was, I thought it was pretty profound. It is a clip from The Passion of the Christ when he's hanging on the cross. I kind of wanted to do the movie, but the actual movie without the music, but I think this is profound. So if we can watch this. So I think if that's the last words that he said to those people, those are the last words that we should, or those are the words we should remember. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and then if anybody has anything against anyone, you can go ahead and silently put that person's name in there. So I want you to repeat after me. Father God, we love you. Father God, we know that you love us. And Lord, we want to live. And we want to have people see Christ in us. Help me to love people like you do. Father, as you have forgiven me, now I forgive and put that person's name in there. Father, I forgive them. I know that you love them. Help me to love them. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, those scriptures that Sue brought out in Matthew 5 and really any place that Jesus talked about forgiveness, understand where he's coming from. It's coming from love who said, "The Prince of Darkness has nothing in me." And I love what that Proverbs Amplified said about having a mind that's free. Because really, when Jesus talks about forgiveness, that's really what he's talking about. He's telling us this is the way you keep nothing from getting in you. Because whom the Son has set free is truly free. So he demonstrated how to stay that way. And I believe when he said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing," he had to do that. He did that as much for himself as he did for anybody else. Because even to the very last, darkness was going to have nothing in him. That was a good message. Praise the name of the Lord.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.